glad to see you at the midweek service this evening. And we're going to commence the meeting by singing the hymn 622, Jesus, We Thy Promise Claim. We are gathered in Thy name, in the midst do Thou appear, manifest Thy presence here. 622, we're going to stand as we sing, please. Church. We're thankful for the opportunity to meet in my house as a band of your people. We thank you for this midweek service. We rejoice, Father, that we're able to come aside during the week, gather together around your feet, gather together in thy house, be able to seek thy face. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that is granted to us of being able to draw nigh to the throne of heavenly grace. We want to pray that you'll come down upon us tonight by thy Spirit. We're conscious, Father, of our need. We're conscious that we need thee, and we need the quickening of the Holy Ghost. We pray just now that the Spirit might descend. Thank you for the words that we've been singing, the encouragement, the comfort of them. Lord, how good it is to know that where two or three are met in your name, that there thou art in the midst of them. So we're praying, Father, come and be with us tonight. We ask you to come and be amongst us. We pray that you'll be in our midst in this service. We pray that from the very beginning that we'll know the Lord is here. We pray that you'll be with us, Father, in such a way that each one that's gathered will know the presence of the Lord. We pray, Father, that you'll fill this hall tonight with your presence and with your glory. We pray, Father, that you'll encourage us as your people with a real visitation of God in this meeting and in this service tonight. We just want now in prayer to commit the service, commit the way into your hands. We're asking, Father, that you'll help us along the way. We pray you'll come and guide us, especially in the things that are said. We pray for a word from God. We ask the Lord to come and open the scriptures to us. We pray that you'll encourage our hearts tonight as we gather around your word and as we linger before thee in the place of prayer. We pray that you'll guide us in our prayers. We want to especially, Father, ask that you'll pour out your Spirit upon us, that the blessing of God will come down upon our services here and upon our labours. We want to pray for the Sabbath day, that it will be a day of God's right hand. We pray it will be a day that God puts his seal of blessing upon the preaching of his word. We ask thee, Father, that you'll bring in people from the city. We pray that you'll bring in folk to this house that have never been here before. We want to ask, Father, that it might please thee to bring in the stranger, to bring in the lost. We pray you'll bring into thy house those that you've been speaking to, those whose hearts you've been working on, those, Father, that you've been preparing even to hear the preaching of your word and the preaching of the gospel. And we want to ask, Lord, it will be a day of blessing. We pray it will be a day that the Lord is pleased to come and save in our midst. We pray you'll give us the joy of the soul winner. We pray that there'll be rejoicing amongst us over those that have turned from their sins and sought and found the Saviour. We ask the Lord, abide with us now. Come and be with us as we open up the word. We pray that you'll come by your Spirit and teach us. Come and shine by thy Spirit even upon the pages of your word tonight. And may it please thee, Father, to give us just that word and season for this time. Answer these our prayers. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. We're reading a few verses together in the book of Matthew chapter 18. We're in Matthew chapter 18. We're going to begin to read at verse 15. We'll read just a short section together. Matthew chapter 18, the verse 15. We'll read down just to the end of the 22nd verse. Let's hear the Lord's word at our hearts tonight. The Saviour says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Just ending there, the end of verse 22. Praying the Lord will add his blessing tonight to this, the reading of his word. I want to direct your attention at the outset to verse 20. There are some other scriptures that we're going to turn to in the course of the message. Link a number of scriptures together. But if I could emphasize the 20th verse just at the beginning, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Just to emphasize, sometimes when folk quote the verse, they say "where the twos or threes." There's that inclination to try and make the number more than it really is. The verse simply says, "where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Sometimes there's an adding on to the end of the verse as well. The words are not to bless. You'll see those words are not there. Of course, when the Lord comes, he does bless. But the verse states that there am I in the midst of them. I want us to think tonight of the theme of promises for the day of small things. This time, 28 years ago, Mr. Paisley had come across to visit us in Wales. We had been there for just a couple of years, or a little over it. We'd been able to purchase a little building in Burryport. It was the old Telephone Exchange. It was a building maybe not just as big as this hall. There was a little back room where there was a toilet and a very small room that was used for a prayer room. Through some very generous gifts, there was a gentleman in the Portadown Church that had given a gift to the Mainland Commission at that time, and that was one of the significant gifts that was used in the purchase of that little building. Some renovation work carried out. There was a group of students that came across. Dr. Lindsay Wilson was one of those students at the time. Came along to help with a bit of outreach at that time. And Mr. Paisley himself came for almost a week. He really enjoyed the visit. Coming back to Wales, he had studied there in the Barry School of Evangelism way back in 1942. He first went there to study for about 18 months. As the police drove him down from London that time, he stopped off to see the place. The building had been turned into a block of flats, but he was very keen to revisit it, have his photograph taken there. There's a gentleman that had been a minister who had been asked to write the history of the Evangelical Theological College of Wales. The Barry School of Evangelism had been amalgamated into, along with another college. So at that time he interviewed Dr. Paisley about his time studying at the Barry School of Evangelism. He came on a Friday night. He conducted the official opening on the Saturday. He preached at the little Bryn Church in Clonethley. It had applied to be received into our presbytery at that time. And then he stayed right through until the Wednesday. The dates fell 28 years ago, exactly as they do this year. The opening was on Saturday, the 27th. He preached at three meetings on the Lord's Day. And then he did a little series of gospel meetings the Sunday night, the Monday night, and the Tuesday night. And on the Wednesday, he went down to Merthyr Tydfil, the Cephas Church. Our brother, the Reverend Nigel Smith, and his wife, Ruth Purdy, and the Purdy family are very well known to you folk here in Ireland. They have laboured there now for almost 20 years. At that time, there was a link been formed with the little work there, Cephas, as it was known, down in Merthyr Tydfil. Dr. Paisley preached at three meetings on this day, this Wednesday, the 31st, 28 years ago. He preached ministers in the morning. There was an open meeting in the afternoon, maybe 170 people came to. And that Wednesday night, the place was jammed to capacity. They had taken out, they had a couple of partition walls. They took them out. And it was very difficult for him even to get onto the platform. There were so many people in the service. And at the end of that meeting, he had preached the gospel from Ephesians chapter 2. He made a gospel appeal, and there was 8 souls that was converted at the close of that service. He thought it was a great conclusion to the visit to Wales at that time. He rejoiced in the Lord's blessing upon those meetings. They drove him back down to London that night afterwards. He said he would curl up in the back seat of the police car and sleep the whole way back to London. That morning, at the time that he was there, and the Reverend Elliot was over, Mr. Elliot was my senior minister in those days as the chairman of what was then known as the Forward Movement. He spent a week or a little over with us and attended all of those meetings. At that time, the first IRA ceasefire was taking place. Mr. Paisley was followed everywhere that he went. Mr. Blair was in regular contact with him. He was speaking to those ministers on the Wednesday morning, and the door opened. One of his police officers looked in. He wanted to speak to Mr. Paisley. He was speaking. He stopped and he asked the police officer what he wanted. He said that the Prime Minister, Mr. Blair, is on the phone. This was the phone in his car. He wants to speak with you. And he just said straight back to the police officer, "You go back and tell Mr. Blair that I'm engaged in the Lord's business and I can't speak to him just now." So that took back all of those ministers. They had an entirely wrong impression of Mr. Paisley, and that visit and that meeting in particular changed a lot of their attitudes towards him. We look back to those days in Wales with great fondness, with many memories. We keep up the link, still many friends. But in many ways, the description of the works on the mainland, to a large extent, is the day of small things. But the Lord is still at work. Remember, the Lord has assured us he will never leave himself without a witness. And the reality, brethren and sisters, we live in the day of small things, even here in the province. Our meetings are not as big as once they were, not as well attended, not the same interest, not the same support, not the same hearing for the Word of God. And that's true of all types of meetings all across the board. And even if we think of the progress, opportunities, the blessing, and so forth, it's very much the day of small things. We're not seeing things happen to the same extent. We're not seeing the same amount of blessing, the same amount of fruit being born as perhaps was the case in former generations. We're living in what is known in biblical terms as the day of small things. And there's some promises that are given in the Word of God, especially for the day of small things. And I want us to think about those for a little while this evening. I pray it will be a help and an encouragement to you in your walk with the Lord, in your labours, in all that you're engaged in for Christ and his gospel. Sometimes we can get a little discouraged when we see so little happening, so little progress, so little movement in the work of God, so little increase. So I pray that you'll be encouraged as we think of these promises for the day of small things. The first is here, Matthew 18:20. Here the Lord is giving you the promise of his presence. If you look again at the words, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Notice that the Savior here promises that if two Christians, just two, meet together in his name, meet together for prayer and worship, he promises that he will be there, that he will meet with them. If you think about two people, the reality is the gathering couldn't be any smaller than two people. If it was any smaller, you couldn't describe it as a gathering at all. And there's encouragement there for husband and wife. You think of meeting together at home for family altar, family worship, as you meet together to read the Word of God and pray, and we encourage that in every home. You think of the fact that even when two, a husband and wife, meet together, not even in a formal church setting such as we're meeting tonight, even then you can claim the promise of the presence of the Saviour with you. So just think of it, even in the smallest of all gatherings, Christians assemble together in the knowledge that the Lord Jesus has said that he will gather with them. And doesn't that encourage you tonight, brethren and sisters? Because what that means is that the Lord is here. He's here in this building. He's here in this meeting. He's present in this gathering. Just think of that. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is present with us. The one who is the King of Kings. The one who is the Lord of Glory. The one who is the Lord of Lords. He's in attendance here in this service tonight. And doesn't that solemnize your heart? Doesn't that change your outlook as you come into the meeting, come into the Lord's house? Jesus Christ is as truly present here in this meeting tonight as you are and as I am. He's here, brethren and sisters. May the Lord give us a fresh realization of that. If we could only see that aright, if we could only take that in, what a difference that would make to the meeting. What a difference that would make to our attitude towards being at the meetings themselves. Russia, very much in the news with their ongoing aggression against the Ukrainians. Even in the news again today with the death of their former leader, Mikhail Gorbachev. Way back in the time in Russia, whenever Christians were persecuted, and we have no doubt that that persecution to some extent still exists, still is taking place today. But way back in those days, there was a group of Christians gathered together at home. They knew that they were meeting against the law of the land, that they knew that they could be prosecuted. And they just started their little service, their little time of worship, when the door burst open, and in came the police. They wanted to take the names of all that were gathered. There was 30 people in the home that night. So the man that was in charge took out his notebook, and he made a point of going around and writing down everybody's names. And when he thought he was finished, one of the old men spoke up and he said, "There's a name that you've missed." Well, the man didn't like to be spoken to in that way. He was taken back a bit. And he assured the old man that he had everybody's name. He counted again, "There's 30 people here. There's 30 names on the list." "No, no," he said, "there's a name you've missed." So he asked the old man to tell him who it was. He says, "It's Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus. He's here in this meeting too." The man just, "Oh, that's another matter." But that's the reality, brethren and sisters. If we were to write down tonight the names of those who are in this meeting, the name of the Lord Jesus must be added to the list of attenders. There was a man, and he was the only man at a prayer meeting on one occasion, but he told his friends there was four present: himself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Brethren and sisters, there are many people not here. We can be saddened about that. There are many people in the congregation. We long to be here, long to be in these meetings. And we pray that the Lord might touch their heart and burden them for all of the meetings, the prayer meeting especially. But remember tonight, regardless of who's not here, the Lord Jesus is. And that makes a great difference to this meeting. Because let me tell you, one of the things that his presence means, it means that he's giving his sanction, giving his blessing, giving his approval to this meeting in which we are found tonight. Whenever a particular group or organization gathers or assembles, for example, the Trinitarian Bible Society, when they meet for their their annual general meeting. People attend those meetings because they want their presence to say, I'm with you, I support you, I give my approval to all that you do, to every effort that you make. And brethren and sisters, that's what the Saviour's presence says to us this evening. He's here tonight because he's saying, you have my support. You have my blessing. I approve. I delight in this meeting that you're found in, this meeting that you're supporting and that you're attending. So I want you to encourage you tonight with that knowledge. We have heaven's sanction. We have heaven's blessing for this meeting and for this service. So that's the first promise for the day of small things. The promise of his presence, where two or three meet together in his name. There he is in the midst of them. Turn back into the Old Testament, to the book of Job, chapter 8 and the verse 7. And here you'll find the promise of prosperity. Job chapter 8, verse 7. These are the words of Bildad the Shuhite. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. Your beginning small, the day of small things. So notice that God promises not only to increase a small cause or a small witness or a small work. He doesn't just promise to increase it, but he promises to increase it greatly, to a large extent. He says, you will start out small. At the beginning, you may only be a few. You may be small in number. But things are not always going to be like that. Because in time, the work will prosper, the work will advance, the work will grow. He says, thy latter end shall greatly increase. Mark the words, greatly increase. And hasn't he said that to us in many places in the Word of God? Think of the promise of the Saviour. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But we see the activity of the devil all around us, more than perhaps we've ever done in this land before. But notice the certainty here, the sureness, I will build my church. The church is his. So sometimes we talk of the church as if it was ours, and there's a sense in which the church is ours and we want to identify with it. But remember, it's his church. He paid for it. He paid for it at the highest cost. He has great interest in the witness and the well-being, the welfare of his church. He says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hasn't he declared through the prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament scriptures, I will yet for this be entreated of by the house of Israel to do it for them, to increase them with men like a flock. Isn't that an interesting picture that's given there? The Lord says this is something that he'll be entreated for by his people. Here's something we can pray about. The Lord encourages us to bring it before him and to plead about it, that he would increase us with men like a flock. You just think of the picture there of a large number of sheep. And that's what the Lord wants to do for us if we'll cry to him in prayer for it. Hasn't he pledged? Think of what Paul wrote to the Galatians. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. So I want you to say, brethren and sisters, God has told us repeatedly that he'll prosper his work. He will cause the church to grow, the cause of the gospel. He will give the increase. I have planted Apollos water, but the Lord, we need to keep our eyes on him. He's the one that gives the increase. Look at the children of Israel going down into Egypt. Just 70 in number, 70. But look at them again some 400 years later as they come up out of Egypt. A vast multitude, perhaps some 3 million strong. Beginnings were small, but their latter end greatly increased. Look at it even in the natural world. You think of a tiny little acorn, smaller than the size of your thumb. But yet if that acorn is planted, it becomes a mighty oak. Its latter end is greatly increased. So be encouraged tonight, brethren. We need to wait. We were exhorted many times in the scriptures to wait on the Lord. You have need of patience. And may the Lord grant that grace to us. Because let me remind you and highlight, sometimes the Lord tests us. That's why he wants us to wait. That's why he doesn't give it to us immediately. He tests us. Think of the children all going back to school. Not for long until there's some tests that they will be given. And what the children do in the classroom, we as the Lord's people do in God's classroom. His lessons to teach us. And he will test us to see how diligent we are. He will test us to see how we persevere, how steadfast we are. He will test us to see how faithful we are, even when the things are small. That's the test, to keep going when the days are small, when the days are difficult, when there isn't much evidence of fruit and growth and so on. It's easy to be faithful when everything's going well, when the numbers are big and there's evidence all around us of much blessing from the Lord's hand. It's easy to be faithful in those times. But he has said in his word, he that is faithful in that which is least, the small things, the day of small things, he that's faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. The Lord tests us through the small things, the small responsibilities that it gives to you. And if you're faithful when things are small, and the Lord sees that faithfulness in your heart, God will give you a greater opportunity. He'll open a greater door. He will give you a charge over a greater work. So therefore, what he does is he tests you. He tests your faithfulness. And that's maybe what's happening to us. Maybe that's what's happening in your life especially. God's testing you. He's testing to see if you're faithful. And if you pass the test, you can be sure of this. God will keep his word. And he will greatly increase your labours. And he'll greatly increase this fellowship and its influence. And he'll greatly increase the seed that is sown and give a harvest, a mighty harvest from it. So I want you to stress that, brethren and sisters. There's the second promise. There's the promise of his presence. And there's the promise of his prosperity. Two promises for the day of small things. The third one I'll mention is the promise of his peace. If you turn back to the New Testament, Luke chapter 12, and the words of the verse 32. Remember Luke 12 for the story of the rich farmer. Well, there's a lovely little promise. Luke 12 and 32. It says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Whenever you're small in number, whenever you're passing through the day of small things, you have all sorts of fears. You have fears for the work. There are many fears that rise up in your heart, in your mind. Maybe even as you come to the meeting tonight, there's some of those fears that have been weighing upon your heart that you've been thinking over in your mind. You have a fear about the future of the work. What's going to happen? Will the work survive? Will the cause of the gospel in the land, will the cause of the gospel in the city, will it progress? Or is it going to come to nothing? So we have fears about the future. We've also fears about the finances. Will there be enough money to pay the bills? Will there be enough money to keep the doors open? Will there be enough money to pay for all that is needed, all that has to be done? So there's all sorts of fears and worries. But yet the Lord says to us this evening, brethren and sisters, little flock, fear not. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. No need to be anxious. No need to fret. Fret not thyself, the Bible says, because of evildoers. We're not to be over anxious. Remember those words, fear not, are often repeated in the Bible. The Lord knew how often we would need them. The Lord knew that regularly he would have to bring that challenge to our hearts. Remember, I've highlighted to you before, someone suggested there was 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day of the year. I'm not so sure there's just as many as 365. But I stress to you, brethren and sisters, there certainly is a fear not in the Bible for every circumstance, every situation in life that you will ever have to face, ever have to encounter, and ever have to pass through. For example, if you're afraid of attacks, if you're afraid tonight because of the attacks that are been launched upon you personally, or been launched against the cause of Christ, even the work of the gospel in this place, there's a fear not for you in Genesis 15 verse 1. Remember, that's the first fear not in all the Bible. We ought to note the first, remember the law of the first mention, the first reference, the first occurrence of any truth in the Bible. So Genesis 15 verse 1, the first fear not, where the Lord says, fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So there's no need to be afraid because of those attacks. God will protect you. The Lord himself says that he will be your shield. He will guard you and watch over you. Again tonight, if you're afraid because of an obstacle that's blocking your path, because of a great difficulty that you're encountering, as Israel was afraid when they came out of Egypt and they encountered the Red Sea in the road, in the path before them, then God would say to you in Exodus 14 verse 13, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't be afraid. Just watch God display his power, his omnipotent, almighty power. Watch him do it and remove that obstacle. Open up the way before you. And remember, we could go on and on, because there are fear nots in the Bible for every, kick that in tonight, be encouraged by every situation in life. So what that means is that whatever your circumstances are this evening, there's no need to be afraid. And as we think of the work of God in the day of small things, there's no need to be anxious, no need to worry. God says, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is true to say that most of the worries that people have are about things that are in the future. What we worry about tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. Things that we mightn't have to pass through. Things that mightn't happen. Things, brethren and sisters, that the Lord may in his providence preserve us from ever having to encounter. It's not what the scriptures teach. Take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We've enough to worry about, enough to think about, enough to deal with and encounter today with, without worrying about tomorrow, without worrying about the future. Just worry about what's on hand today and leave the future in God's hands. That's the best thing to do. Martin Luther said that his favourite little preacher was a little robin redbreast. The little robin redbreast flew down into the backyard of the manse last week. Mr. Luther said that every evening he would take a few crumbs and he would put the crumbs out on the windowsill, and this little robin redbreast would fly down and lift up those crumbs, took as many as it needed, and then it would go over, he said, and sit down on a branch of the tree, and it would lift up its voice and sing praises to the Lord. And he said that little robin redbreast spoke to him. The robin didn't worry. The robin didn't fret about the future. And he said, nor should I, nor should we. Do you remember the little story, the two girls going home from prayer meeting in a horse-drawn carriage with their dad through a dark forest? And as young girls, young children are wont to be, they were afraid of the darkness and afraid of the sounds. And one of the sisters said to the other, are you afraid? And the other very confidently replied, no, no, I'm not afraid. I'm never afraid when we're with Father. I'm never afraid when Father holds the reins. It's good to remember that, brethren and sisters. Our Heavenly Father, he holds the reins. All our circumstances, our times are in His hands. We have a sovereign God working all things out after the counsel of His own will. He's in control tonight. He's in control of your life. He's in control of this work. He's in control of this world. And therefore, we ought not to be afraid. There's a promise of His peace for the day of small things as well. So here's three promises for the day of small things. The promise of His presence with us. The promise of His prosperity. He'll bless the work. He'll greatly increase it. And the promise of His peace. We're not to fear. We're not to worry. Just in closing, let me remind you of one other verse in the Bible to do with the day of small things. It's Zechariah chapter 4, if you'd like to turn to it. And it's the opening line of the verse 10. Zechariah 4, the opening line of verse 10. It says, for who hath despised the day of small things? And it is true, brethren and sisters, people do despise. They despise the gospel work at any time, in any circumstances. But people do despise and look down on small works. We live in the day of the mega church. Everything has to be very big. Everything has to be on a massive scale. And even among Christians, sadly, they look down on a small cause. There are many who despise the work of God, the work of the gospel, in the days in which we are found. But if you think of the three promises we have considered tonight, brethren and sisters, one thing is sure beyond doubt, and that is that God does not despise a small work. He doesn't despise a little congregation. He does not despise the day of small things. And really for us, that is all that that matters. He's greatly interested in all that is done in His name and in the cause of the gospel. And that knowledge tonight and these promises that we have considered from the scriptures, that should encourage us. Encourage us all. Encourage us greatly in our labours for Christ. So some promises from the scriptures then for the day of small things. We pray the Lord will bless them and encourage your heart through them this evening. 469, please. We'll sing just some verses of the hymn together. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Saviour. I come to thee. We're just going to sing the odd numbers 1, 3, and 5, 4, 6, 9, and we'll stand as we sing, please. I need thee, oh, I need thee.
my Savior, I come to thee. I name thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and the fight, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Obey me night and day, thy blessing.